In last week's lesson, we talked about scattering seeds and successful seeds in God's kingdom. And realize that there are sometimes that we scatter seeds and they fall on good ground and produce a bountiful harvest, and sometimes they fall on rocky ground, and sometimes they are eaten by birds of the air and all different types of things. And there are those that are so successful that they produce a bountiful harvest. Well, in today's parable, we continue to talk about seeds and gardening, and we deal with the reality of life. For any of you that have any type of green thumb or wish that you had a green thumb or have ever endeavored to grow anything at all in your life, there is the fact of weeds. Now, I remember the first time that I was responsible for a yard with my children and my wife, and we were living in our first parsonage, and I let my kids go out in the yard barefooted, and they began to cry because they were spurs, and I found out that they called these things bulldogs. Now, we call them sand spurs in the low country, but up in Startex, South Carolina, they are known as bulldogs. And they literally saturate the yard. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. I have no idea where they came from. And the only way that you can maintain these things is if you keep your grass cut real well and you watch after every rain, and you'll see a little something sticking its head up, and you'll know that that's not a regular piece of blade of grass, and you go out there and dig down into the yard and you pull it out and you throw it away. It's a continual battle that I suspect goes on to today. I am glad I'm not having to fight the battle of bulldogs today. Fella in Minnesota, Leith Anderson, was talking about his yard in a suburban weed-infested lawn, and he had people from Kim Loan to come and to look at his yard, and they rejected it. They said it was too bad to work on. And one of his members happened to be an old farmer, and he told him, he said, "I'm going to tell you how to deal with your yard." He said, "You plant nothing but good seed. Don't worry about getting rid of all the weeds," he said. "Just grow grass. And the grass will take care of the weeds." Said Anderson said that he took his prescription and did all that he could to grow the good stuff. He said after a couple of years, his yard looked just as good as everybody else's in the block. When we think about this concept in our church life, we realize that the most important thing for us to concentrate on is the positive. It's amazing to me how negative we can be when we look around us and we have all the wonderful facilities. Do you know that there are churches all over this country that do not have a beautiful sanctuary like Main Street to worship in? There are lots of churches that don't have the beautiful administration section that we have. And then to throw in on top of that, a gymnasium with all the first class nurseries and all the rooms and all the other things. We have a wonderful facility. Yeah, we got to pay for it. We understand that. But we still have this wonderful facility to be used for the kingdom of God. We have to remember that in the process of being the church, that we keep a positive attitude. That we plant good seeds. Good seeds of thought. As we speak good positive things. And it has a tendency to take root. I remember hearing a few years ago on the radio about some folks that moved to New Mexico. Now, my uncle had went out to Arizona, New Mexico area, and he had worked, and he come back and told my daddy how good his sinuses were while he was out there, and how good he could breathe and all this kind of stuff. Well, as I was reading as I was listening to this commentator on the radio, he was talking about these people that had moved out to New Mexico because the doctor had assigned them a prescription for them to move there in order to deal with their sinuses. Well, these people took with them their grass, and they did away with the weedy, scraggly sagebrush, the cactus, and the scrub grass. They rooted out all the native vegetation and sowed great swaths of Kentucky bluegrass. They had clover and such things. They used the precious water out in the desert, massive amounts of it for nutrients into the thin desert soil. Next thing you know, came mites, ticks, mosquitoes that were new to the region. And the plants brought with them loads of pollen, airborne goodies that produce sneezing and coughing and wheezing. Why, it was just as if these folks never left home. They created an environmental disaster. If we think about it, there are some worthless weeds out there. I think about kudzu sometimes when I think about worthless. I do understand that some people eat kudzu. I haven't gotten there yet. But we think about some worthless weeds, that there are some out and out, downright worthless attitudes growing sometimes within the rank of our congregations. Sometimes worthless attitudes and weeds growing in our city government, our local schools, some of our elected public officials. They get elected or appointed and are promoted and seem to be good seeds, anxious to contribute to the welfare of others. And then they begin to reveal their true weed-like nature, selflessly producing thorns and chaff. The good news that we read this morning in this passage of Scripture is, don't let those turkeys get you down. Don't let them sap your soul's strength. There is a way to deal with this, and it's to continue to plant good seeds yourself. Continue to work for the positive. Continue to work for that which enriches the community, and that which produces stamina and direction and sanity and sanctity. Sometimes it appears to us that the weeds outgrow the grass, but yet we are still called to procreate the good growth. That's the promise of the gospel. To remember, Jesus defines the field of weeds and wheat as nothing less than the world. And not just polite, educated, middle-class Americans, or not just those who are common ethical heritage or economic status are with us. And there are those that are not even what they should be, as I've already mentioned, in the church. Jesus does not intend for the church to be a hothouse, flower house, but he calls for us to live in the world, to live among the weeds, learning how to survive in this present, sometimes negative, world to give a positive impact. Pulling the weeds is not our business, this passage of Scripture reminds us. But it reminds us that we are to spread the good seed. There's a story told about a young man went to the full service station, and the young man came out and cleaned his windshield. The young man looked at the fella and he said, "That's the most terrible job of cleaning a windshield I have ever seen in my life. Please clean my windshield." And so he washed the windshield again. And the guy looked at him and he said, "Son, if you don't clean this windshield properly, I am going to report you to your supervisor. Now clean my windshield." The attendant cleaned the windshield a third time when the man's wife reached over and took his glasses off and cleaned them, handed them back to him, and he put the glasses back on and he looked through the cleanest windshield you had ever seen. Scripture reminds us this morning again that we are not the ones to be judging between the good and the bad weeds. The Scripture reminds us in Matthew 7:1, "From the same way you judge others, you'll be judged. And with what measure you use it, it will be measured to you." Sometimes we forget that we are looking through the smudge glasses of our own says. Even John Wesley was guilty of that type of sin one day when there was a man who he had little respect for because he considered him to be miserably and covetous. And one day when the person contributed only a small gift to a worthy charity, Wesley openly criticized him. After the incident, the man went to Wesley privately and told him that he had been living on parsnips, which is a kind of carrot, and water for several weeks. He explained that before his conversion, he had run up many bills, and now by skimping on everything and buying nothing for himself, he was paying off his creditors one by one. "Christ has made me an honest man," he said. "And so with all these debts to pay, I can give only a few offerings above my tithe. I must settle up with my worldly neighbors and show them what the grace of God can do in the heart of a man who was once dishonest." Wesley then apologized to the man and ask for his forgiveness. You see, God calls for us to be those who communicate the grace of God. Our central task is to help other people experience God's grace just as we have experienced it. We cannot do that if we come across with a condemning attitude. And besides, we don't know what other people are going through. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And John 3:17 says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." Christ did not come to condemn people, but to save them. And we are not here to judge. We are here to be God's grace reaching out. Oh, there may be those around us who are not living as they should, sleeping around, drinking too much, or maybe too critical. But our task is to love people and to witness to them of a God who loves them.